Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And we are continuing answering some questions that have come in and some thoughts and addressing some feedback about some of the topics we have covered and intend to cover over time on this broadcast, and some of the bottom line issues that as a ministry, as a focus that we are trying to address. And we started last week talking about why we don't use scripture references in our teachings, in this radio program, and we've gone over a couple practical things, and we want to just continue in that vein. We'll see how far we get. You never know how far off topic we'll end up getting, and I just really, I'm always trying to be sensitive to what the Lord wants to say, because sometimes it's in particular to what our topic is, but he's always got free rein. We've all got issues. We've all got things we want to hear from him about. And our ultimate goal is that we are clear in making it easy, well, at least simple, maybe not easy, to know how to hear him, to know how to distinguish his voice, how to discern and test and have that confidence that what we are hearing, what you are hearing, is in fact God. And we may have a confidence in a pathway, but if we've never compared it to any other path, any other approach, and recognized what it's supposed to look like, what it is supposed to be. And this is one of the reasons we don't use scripture references, because we don't want to reinforce the tradition that our authority is based in a book. And again, at some point in time, we may discuss the history of the Bible. If that's something you're interested in, I encourage you to do that on your own. Growing up, probably like most Christians, I was taught that the Bible, and of course it was a particular brand, it was, for a while it was the KJV, and then it went to the NIV, and then the New King James, and then the NASB, and then the Living Bible was a big rage for a while. And what I learned through that process was that some of the beliefs that were being held were changing based on the version of the Bible that was used. And it occurred to me that if something was truth, it would not change from version to version. Now, not saying that that was a correct conclusion from that experience. What I'm saying is that that was what the Lord used to bring me to the point where I would question the source of truth for me. And I began to question for myself, how could I know something was true? And I came to the conclusion that God could make it so clear. He was big enough and strong enough and able. He knew me well enough, what I needed to know, what I needed to hear, that he could make himself known, that he could make truth known in whatever way he chose. And that one of the problems we were running into, and we continue to run into it, is that by saying the only way God speaks, or the only authority, or the only way we test what we hear, we are all often taught that the only authority or solid reference point, standard of reality and truth, is a book. Regardless of your reverence or high regard for the book or its accuracy, we're not talking about the book itself, but we're talking about the concept that we are using a single methodology to be able to say whether something is God or not, whether it's truth or not. There's a difference between something being true and something being truth. That bedrock characteristic of God himself. Because this is why we get into those silly arguments about God lying. You know, does God change his mind? If you're in the center of his will, can you ever get out of it? You know, or does he go in a different direction and you get left behind? These are silly arguments. Because what we're trying to do is compare our circumstance, our reality, with a book. When God is putting us in situations and circumstances to draw us to him, to ask him, Lord, did I miss something? Did I miss a turn back there? So by using one methodology, we are limiting God. We are saying, God, if you can't come to us in any other way, this was a big hurdle that had to be overcome when the Holy Spirit started to be poured out a couple decades ago. The whole idea that he'd already been poured out once onto the earth when Jesus ascended and sent his spirit back, and it fell on that one group, and then that was it. It's not going to happen again, even though that's not even scriptural. The whole point being is that that had to be overcome. And it had to be overcome by those who experienced a fresh revealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, they experienced it, and then they had to change their minds. And this is very often the order it takes, is that God does something different. And because it sets us free, it brings us healing, it draws us closer to him, we then have a choice. Are we going to reject healing and freedom and change because it doesn't line up with our beliefs? Or are we going to change what we believe? So often we get caught up in moving from teaching to teaching, even if it's new teaching to newer teaching, the latest thing, which when you really step back and look at it, we don't have any new things. It's always the same thing, just packaged different. And these things go in cycles. Instead, what we find is that by relying on one thing as our authority, or one person as the interpreter of that authority, we are saying no to God. And we are idolizing the person and the thing that we are relying on for truth, for that standard, for that discernment. And we know from that book, and hopefully by experience, that God is jealous. Now, he's not petty, but he is jealous. Because he has re-inspirited you, and you are now his son, regardless of your gender or your age, the color of your skin, anything, your education level, anything, you are his son if you've been re-inspirited. If you've asked him to do that, if you recognize that you were dead in your spirit, but by asking, you could become alive in your spirit. If you partook of that and are now re-inspirited, you are his son, a co-inheritor, which means equal inheritor, and a joint heir with his son, Jesus, or Yeshua. Now, those aren't magic words. Those aren't magic names. Those are a representation of God revealing himself on this earth. Likewise, he reveals himself in a variety of different ways in our lives. In your life, now, today, he is revealing himself to you. Your spirit doesn't need him to reveal himself, because your spirit, which is who you truly are, is already, right now, fully embracing and embraced by everything God is. So as far as your spirit is concerned, it is finished. You and God are completely on the same page. Your spirit doesn't need to test anything it hears. So our challenge is between our soul and our spirit. And to a lesser degree, but sometimes more annoying, is what's going on in the body, in the relationship between the body and the soul. But first, most of the huge hindrances we have are between the soul and the spirit. So if your soul is trying to remain in control, we look at our lives and we say, what are we using as a crutch? What are we using to maintain our control, or to keep from receiving freedom? You know, freedom is hard work. Making wise choices, doing research, sometimes being the only one to go in a particular direction, being willing to give up traditions. But once we have tasted and experienced that freedom, nothing else is like it. And we hear of so many even famous people that embrace Christianity and are re-inspirited, but they get caught up in religion. And unfortunately, very often, not always, but often, in the recognition of the manipulation that is in religion, they also reject their own experience as deception. And we know all our enemies are there to reinforce that idea that you're being deceived. But you and I are always receiving a fresh revelation of God, a fresh revealing. We just may not be aware of it. We may not recognize it. Part of our job here on this earth is to seek and embrace and enjoy and be refreshed by the daily, moment by moment, revealing of God to us. Sometimes through our body, our physical senses, but most of the time through our soul, from our spirit. So one of the things we've started to look at quite some time ago, and we went through the list, is what are the other ways, what are some of the other ways God reveals himself to us that we can test, we can discern, and we must learn to do that. We must learn for ourselves how to hear his voice and test it, and then act on it. It has nothing to do with how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, how educated you are. I mean, if that was the case, we really wouldn't need God. And I've shared up the examples in the something, you know, reality God reinforced for me. I'd always suspected that so many, you know, pastors, just in order to become a pastor, you go to seminary, you graduate, and you get assigned to church. And there's no real qualification by God. And that has been reinforced for me many times, especially during my tenure at One Ministry, when they had regular pastors' meetings at the churches in the area, and how exciting it was that God was moving during that time, and some of the pastors were even coming to know the Lord. And my, you know, response was, yay, but oh my goodness, you know, and we're talking some of the big churches even, regardless of size. But the whole point being that we have to have a better way of knowing, recognizing God. Just because someone can quote a book and combine it, make it sound good, prove a point, just because someone's a good orator or has good personal stories, doesn't mean they have anything to do with God's truth for you today. And seriously, that's what you need today. That's what I need today, is God's truth for me right now. Part of our job is to learn to master time. Time is a thing. You rule it. It is a natural element of this world, of this earth. The concept of time was created, and anything that was created is under the feet of the Creator. If you are in the Creator, time is under your feet. We won't go too far afield, but this is another one of those areas where, you know, as you let God change your beliefs, you may find yourself looking back and thinking how foolish, how much time you wasted. I just want to encourage you, don't worry about it. And I feel like that might be happening with people. That's probably why this came up now. But don't worry about it. That was exactly what was supposed to happen for that time. Don't look back unless God takes you there. And there may be things that he wants to talk to you about, decisions you would have made, things that you can go back and address. The purpose of this ministry is to get you started, to put down in concrete terms, this is how to redeem the time, your life, your past. This is how to prepare for your future. What part's God's part? What part is your part? What do you need to do to be ready? And finally, to rest today. How to find that interesting balance of experience of being 100% active and 100% at rest. Once you've done it, once you've experienced it, you'll understand. It's not something that is conveyed very easily. But you can find yourself being the most active mentally or physically or emotionally, whatever, and be at perfect rest at the same time. Once you've experienced it, you go, okay, now I see what that is, living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but your Spirit. And, you know, thinking of that, that's one of those beliefs that has become, is one of those ideas that because of the translation in the scriptures, we have come up with a traditional doctrine and a belief. And not that we want to argue with it or argue about it, but, you know, there's no such thing as, there's no reference to the term Trinity anywhere. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know how he is. I don't know how many, how few. And that's not on the front burner for me. It may be for someone, and that's great. But my conclusion when I think about it is that right now, my little brain can't get its little hands around such a complex revelation. God hasn't revealed that yet. And because it's not on the front burner for me, that's not something he's given me a thirst or a hunger for. Any doctrine or belief that hinges on the Father having a particular role or the Son having a particular role or the Spirit having, the Holy Spirit having a particular role, anything related to that, since I'm not convinced of that, by God himself. It's not that I'm going to come up against those traditions. I'm just not going to stand on them. I'm not going to rely on them. I'm going to join God in liberty, in freedom, that he's allowed to teach me during his timing what I need to know about any of that. Now, this brings up a whole other aspect of why we want one source of authority, a single source to go to, is because of control and fear. We're afraid that if we don't have something to give us the right answer, we'll believe anything. We'll if you open yourself up to God, you've opened yourself up to any, not just God, but anything. Anything that wants to try to get in there or deceive us or, you know, I don't know what you might think. But guess what? If you're believing anything other than what God has revealed, you're already open to deception, to all these other things. So it's not that by trying to maintain control, you're being successful at it. That's not it at all. Instead, and this is the problem, is we have a false sense of security. Our confidence is a false confidence. And very often God does something drastic to show us that our confidence is a false confidence. For instance, if our confidence is in praying the right things, that if we pray the right things or we have the right number of people praying or on and on and on, that God will respond in a predictable manner, that if we fast and pray, he will heal our loved one. And this whole idea of prayer, my goodness, we really need to allow the Lord to talk to us about that. Not because there's something evil or bad or sinful in what we've been taught about prayer, but because relying on that as our source of communication keeps us from any other way God wants to speak. And when we draw our own conclusions with any kind of permanence, we are limiting God. We are saying, this is how you can speak to us. And what does that go back to? It's not your spirit saying, okay, this is how you can speak. It's your soul. And bluntly, prayer becomes a crutch. We have a prayer time. We have a prayer life. Just as we have a Bible reading time and a Bible reading schedule and go to Bible studies and prayer meetings and healing meetings and healing times. These are all ways of control rather than being available for God to move at any given time. And he has just the most fantastic sense of humor. And we better get used to it. It's not about us being bold. It's about us not having our eyes on us at all. And when you start really hanging out with him, you start to ignore yourself without any effort whatsoever. Now, using a story in the Bible, and here's where the purpose of the Bible is helpful because it gives us a common story. Adam and Eve were hanging around, and they didn't know they were naked until their spirit died. That was their first sense of themselves. They weren't talking about themselves up until then. They were just living in the presence of God. And that's one of the reasons that your soul will want to maintain your beliefs, because it keeps the soul alive and aware of itself. Knowing God creates a desire and a hunger to know Him more. And your soul will fight that. So we will continue in this vein next week. We're going to talk about some other reasons, and hopefully we're addressing some of the main questions that have come up about why we don't use scripture references as part of our teaching. So you can welcome to always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. I've got a couple of emails I haven't been able to answer yet. I'll get to those pretty quick. We've had some computer problems with some viruses and stuff, but we're slowly getting those taken care of. So appreciate your patience and us being able to respond to you quickly. Again, have a great weekend, and be sure to stop by wecanprepare.org, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll keep you informed as to what's going on in the future. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Bye.